There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
The National Obsession with John Cadogan and Charlie Baker.
You are listening to the National Obsession with me, John Cadogan. Starting the podcast off this week in controversial fashion. It's not our usual methods. Charlie Baker is here as well. At home.
At home CB. In Perthshire, John.
Live from Perthshire.
From home in Perthshire.
The music goes around. Why
you doing,
on earth?
You doing the intro, John, is one of the symptoms of COVID-19. It's one of the lesser known symptoms.
The lesser known.
They don't talk about.
Yeah. Maybe it's one of the symptoms of Omicron. Sometimes the wrong person kicks off the podcast.
Exactly. Well, look, since COVID has come around, I would say there are as many podcasts in the world as there are Omicron cases, John.
Up to 200,000 new podcasts every day.
Every single day. That's just how they're doing it. Every man and his dog has got one. That's just how it works. Yes, the old C19 has hit, John. The Reed-19.
Co-Reed-19, as we've been calling it.
As we've been calling it, Reedy's hit me. Heart, no, it's not been, and it's fine, John. It's fine.
How are you? Are you okay?
I'm five days in, John.
Yeah.
5 days into my isolation. It's all very fine until I actually try and do anything.
Right.
And then it's, I'm absolutely fine here. I can't see what the problem is. Absolutely fine. Then I try and do something, such as talking to you here, and already slightly exhausted.
Oh, no.
So, That is about the way it goes. And I can't put words together. I did a little thing on someone's Danny McLaughlin's podcast earlier on. And I was about 5 minutes talking. I was just exhausted after it. So who knows how this will be, John?
Oh.
Who knows all that this will be?
I feel like we shouldn't have done this week. I feel like I'm working you into the ground now.
I'm absolutely fine.
Never mind the National League. It's irrelevant.
No. I've been sat home for 5 days trying to recuperate. And I've got another 5 days to go, John. So, but it's fine. But I will suggest to people, get your jabs. I don't want to sound like the government. Get your boosters.
No, I'm going tomorrow. Get my Windows update tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly, John. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's why I'm on the Skype as well.
Yeah.
You need to get your old 5G update in there.
Exactly.
And but, you know, a 2-1 victory for Torquay United really, really helped on Saturday, John.
As good as a vaccine.
In many ways, better. In many ways, better. No but, Ray John. Ray, there was no Ray John.
I know.
Ray was on the comms and then it didn't work.
Ray was there and then he wasn't. Yeah, Ray and Paul Trollope, you had pretty much a dream team there, ready to go. Mm. Paul Trollope had come all the way down. Yeah.
Did you hear Paul Trollope at all, John?
Is this going somewhere?
Did you hear Paul Trollope?
Not a lot of him, to be honest.
No, did you? I'm just wondering. I'm just interested in you in how exciting you found Paul Trollope.
I don't. I was just wondering where this was heading. No, I thought he was okay, Paul. Yeah.
I thought he could have switched it up a little bit there, John. what I think he was doing was hovering around for the Torquay United job. Should Torquay United get absolutely smashed at home by Stockport? If that's what he was doing and trying to be a confident, positive presence, then I feel like he could have just
tried a bit
upped his game a little bit and was probably helped by the complete blackout of Mixler and Torquay TUFC radio.
It saved him. He was outshone by Ray. Not the first or the last for that to happen, Paul, not, unfortunately.
But John, listen, having done it ourselves, we've realised the stellar job.
Not as easy as it looks. Well, look, shall we?
First world problems, John.
Shall we?
It's all fine.
Crack on with the podcast and try and cheer you up. Come on, let's work it out.
What's coming up in the podcast?
On this week's podcast, as we attempt to make, as we're going to make Charlie better through the National League. We're going to use the National League to as a sort of antiviral pill.
It's the vaccine, John.
If you will.
The National League is the vaccine.
So we're going to have all the National League news from the weekend. John Pemberton has been very, very busy over the last few days.
Yes.
He's managed to get back into sport. He's had several big new jobs. I got the sense they didn't go as well as they could have done. So we'll find out from John exactly what happened, what went wrong. Because it's just... He's just played by bad luck, that man. So we'll catch up.
It really
John.
Is.
It's really,
it really
unfortunate.
Is.
We got loads and loads of letters to catch up on, letters from our lovely listeners. And what else? We're going to set the final. The final of the FOF of the year.
It's exciting, isn't it, John? We're excited
three
about
FOF,
it.
52 FOF started, 3 remain. And we're going to set the challenge for those 3 finalists on this edition of the podcast.
In many ways, the National League is like the vaccine, John, because some people think it is dangerous.
Some people think you don't need it.
Some people don't think you don't need it, don't want to go near it. Some people are very much anti it. but for a lot of people, it's bringing a lot of comfort and getting them through the pandemic. So, you know, maybe the National League is... Maybe Vanarama is the National League. Is the, what? I can't speak. See, it's gone, John.
Oh, no.
See, well, my voice doesn't work, my brain doesn't work. It's very exciting. This is what the C19 does. A once great man here crumbling
really
away.
Really sad to see. Well, look, let's crack on with the National League news and see if we can.
Go on, John.
See if we can make you a little better. Altrincham 0, Bromley 1. Bromley sort of keeping up that promotion push. Did you know Altrincham Stadium is called the J. Davidson Stadium? I don't know if it's Jim. I don't know if it's sponsored by Jim Davidson.
Hey, yeah. Oh, that'd be nice, wouldn't it? Daisy Seller. Well, she's been in touch. She's in the final three.
She is, yeah.
Well, she's legally obliged to be in touch. Jay Davidson. I wonder if it's like the Bob Luca. Hey, here's a thing, John. So the podcast I did earlier for Danny McLaughlin, which is called Della Goal, which is a very good title for a football podcast.
Yeah.
He was on, he had Justin Morehouse on, of course. Dear friend, yep. Justin Morehouse, very nice.
Yeah.
But he was—he's a Stockport fan as well as a Manchester United fan, as I think all Stockport fans are. And he was talking me through how the game had gone Saturday, and I went, "What? Like I wouldn't like it's not the only thing I know about. Like it's not, you know." He's talking me through how the game went, and I can't remember the point of my what I was saying,
no.
John. That's the scene. It's the C9.
Look,
I've launched
this is
into
like a
an
live
anecdote.
Demonstration of why you should get the vaccine. Look what happens.
I've launched into an anecdote of something that happened earlier on. And I cannot remember
podcast.
Why I was saying it.
I don't. I wasn't really sure where it was going. Should we move on? It might come back to you. This is a disaster.
What was it about?
Well, look, I'll leave that. See
I
if
cannot
you,
remember.
See if you remember. It was Eastleigh 0, Aldershot 3.
So sad Aldershot, state of affairs.
Aldershot
isn't it?
Absolutely.
Sad
Aldershot thrashing Eastleigh away from home, continuing their resurgence under Mark Molesley. So they are up to 18th now on a cracking run of form. And yeah, 3-0 at Eastleigh away from home. It's always a tricky place to go. A really good result. All in the second
half. Is it
half.
Molesley, John, of the black shirts in the 40s? Is it
yeah,
a,
Oswald.
A fascist?
Yeah.
Is there a way kit, black shirts?
We've done Jim Davidson, we've done Oswald Mosley. We're ticking them all off.
Ah, this is what it was.
Oh, here
and,
we go.
And he said, oh, what's the last game you went to, Torquay United? Like, trying to catch me out, thinking I'm not a proper fan, you know. And I was, it was so brilliant to be able to say Weymouth away. Yeah. Like, is there any? It was absolutely brilliant. And then to try and catch me out even more, he said, what's the name of Weymouth Stadium? And I was like, the Bob Lucas Stadium. I knew it, the old Bobby Luke. And I was like, yes. People try and test your National League credentials wherever you go, John.
Yeah.
Here I am.
It's like they don't want to believe it. Grimsby
wasn't really
nil.
Worth it, but carry on.
Grimsby, and it really wasn't. Grimsby nil, Chesterfield 1, which on paper looked like a bit of a, the clash of the day, but really Grimsby had been awful. Still, it took Chesterfield to the 84th minute. Shimanga scored. Grimsby's slide down the table continues. They're now out of the playoffs. They're eighth.
Yeah.
So it's all going really, really well.
Let's, for Christmas, get Lloyd Griffith.
We
on
should
the
have
line
a chat with
Lloydie
next week.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should do. It was Kings Lynn 2, Dover 1. So Kings Lynn,
come on, you Linnet!
Survival of the fittest down there, Kings Lynn and Dover. And Kings Lynn came out on top 2-1. First game for new manager Tommy Widdrington, who replaces old thingamajig. What's his name? Ian Culverhouse.
Culverhouse. You know, Tommy Widdrington is father of John.
He's one of the Strictly pros, isn't he?
One of the Strictly pros who's still in the final. He's the one dancing with AJ Adudu.
Yeah.
And so that's a nice link, isn't it?
It's nice, isn't it? He is the new manager. I don't know if you saw the shortlists for the Kings Lynn job. Amongst them was our old friend Marcus Bignott. La 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 la. Bignott, la 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 la. Bignott strikes again.
I mean, who wants that job, John? A long way.
We didn't get
it
to Marcus Bignott in the end. Tommy Widdrington, yeah. So good start. Yeah. But it was only Dover.
Very good start. Well done.
Maidenhead nil, Solihull Moors 4. So, I mean, what on earth is going on at Maidenhead? They are having
something's
a stinker there. They've now slid down into the relegation zone.
Yeah, I was reading the fans. Like, one of my favourite things to do is to take the schadenfreude of when teams have lost and look through their Twitter feeds. And I was reading the fans, and I don't think they're happy with Alan Devonshire.
No.
I think they think he's think his time is up, and he's a little bit of a dinosaur, John. But who knows what goes on there? Because he's been there a long time, and he's you know, it's a great place to go. They don't drop out. It's a lovely away day.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it would be a shame, but maybe we should have caught up with Adrian Allen this week. Notts County 4, Southend 1. So a big win for Notts County there against Southend, who had started to sort of come right a little bit, but a bit of a humbling there at Notts County. Carl Cameron on the score.
They'll be up
again
there or thereabouts, John. I don't think they're going to win it. I think Wrexham are going to win it.
I don't think they've quite been consistent enough, have they, Notts County?
But I think what Wrexham will do is sign half of League One in January. So I think that's what's going to happen there. But look, we'll see.
Looks like it. Wiltshire nil, Halifax 1.
Who scored, John?
Not Billy Waters.
Not Billy Wood. No. That's all we need to know.
That's all you need to know. Woking nil, Borehamwood 2, which was pretty predictable. Borehamwood scored literally after 1 minute. And even going down to 10 men for the
time.
Last sort of 20 minutes, they were pretty easily getting past Woking in that one. So Woking still continuing a pretty poor run of form. Yeovil 1, Barnet 0. So Barnet's recent upturn sort of comes to an end. Yeovil sort of quietly putting together quite a nice run. They're up to ninth now, so they're only just outside the playoffs. So they're going along all right.
Yeah, annoying.
Wrexham 1, Weymouth 0. That was on the telly, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was the worst match I've ever seen in my life. I've watched a lot of football, John. Really terrible match. I mean, probably not the worst I've ever seen in my life. I've seen a lot of terrible games. But it was so boring. It did not even allay the COVID-19 symptoms, John.
No.
Didn't even make me go, oh yeah, I feel a bit better from watching the football. It actually made me feel worse.
Nice. The most damning.
I think that match might actually be the Omicron variant. Paul Mullin, Mr. Sitter, that was good fun.
Oh, good. That's
talk,
good.
John, you know. Talk of Nottingham Forest trying to buy Paul Mullin.
Really?
Yes, for £1 million.
Really?
Yeah.
God. And the other result from the day, Torquay United 2, Stockport County 1. Get in.
Bash. Sure, having just watched some highlights. I mean, I will say, well done, the Yellow Army. Watching the highlights, listening to it.
Yeah.
The atmosphere was phenomenal. Absolutely brilliant. The result against Weymouth did feel like a sort of momentum change. And then that Saturday did feel like it was from that in the post.
Yeah.
And the addition of the players coming back, and I don't know. You know how Mourinho goes into a club and he always gets rid... His first thing he does when he goes into a club is gets rid of a big hitter.
Yeah.
Gets rid of a sort of totem pole player.
Yes.
I think, unfortunately, the fact that Gary has let Jake Andrews leave, who's obviously a lovely lad and a very, very good footballer, but it shows that he's serious. Shows that he's serious about what he's doing.
Yeah.
And I think that might make other players go, oh, got rid of him or get rid of me.
Yeah.
So it might make them pull their finger out a bit. I love the look of this little Joe Felix.
Yeah, he looks decent.
The cheeky little mouse.
Sparks as well. Sparks looks quite
Sparks,
good.
Sparks, yeah, that's good. Now, John, Sparks. Isn't there a band called Sparks?
There is. I don't really know any of their songs.
Isn't Video Killed the Radio? No. Who are they? No, not Sparks.
Sparks?
What did Sparks
this
do?
This town ain't big enough for the both of us.
That's it. Dun, 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 dun. That's why Jake Andrews had to leave.
Yeah.
That's what we should have done there.
You see, you say you're struggling with the old C9 theme, but it sounds like the old synapses are still firing to me.
Still firing away
old,
there.
The somewhere. Old Baker magic.
It's still coming there. In there, John, wouldn't it? There we are. See, if I'd bothered to do any sort of thought about it, we could have really set that up.
But yeah.
And we've got him there if the floodlights ever go down. So that's always good, isn't it?
That's two. Two in a minute. He's back.
He's back. Maybe it's gone.
That's the test for if it's gone. Can he tell two quick fire nice little lines? Yes.
The AstraZeneca soaring through my veins.
But yeah, Torquay United, very, very good. I don't know about you. Sinclair Armstrong looked absolutely magnificent. Mm. On the highlights.
Yeah, we won't keep him, will we?
Would you like a little song about Sinclair Armstrong?
Oh, I'd love one.
I'm going to give it a go.
Oh.
Just bear with me. I'm going to give it a try. Sinclair, the moment we signed you, I swear, you could have heard the cheers from Kingsware. Came from QPR. Won't cross the Tamar, and then on your dapes when you put it top bins. All right, it was only King's Lynn. You put Holman Dan into the trash can, but then still going with Ireland under 21s to Europe you fly. For international duty, I feel I could cry. Nothing means more to me except when they say that on TUFC radio the commentators Ray Sinclair. There we go, that'll do. Sinclair.
Yeah. Very good, John. Poor Dan Holman.
Quite long, wasn't it?
Really, really salty for Dan Holman in the I like our music taste, John. We're really cool, aren't we?
Look, one day everyone will appreciate Gilbert O'Sullivan. And the great songwriter he was.
There's no need to worry. Da, 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 need. That's Matt Ramone. I'm after there. There we are. So, Matt Ramone. Does he play? Yeah.
On that note.
Is that it?
That's it.
This is the National Obsession.
The National Obsession.
You're listening to the National Obsession. Now, we're very, very pleased to welcome to the show a regular guest. And regular contributor, it's John Pemberton. Lovely to have you back on, John.
Yeah, hello. Yeah, thanks. Thanks very much. Great to be back. Great to be back on the podcast. Great to be back in the country. As you know, you had me on before. I just finished my time at the Kennedy Space Center there with NASA, working on that mission to destroy an asterooid. So, look, my time finished there, and I'm thrilled to be back over here, back working in sport.
Yeah, I see you've been working in sport. You've got a job back in sport, which is great news for yourself and your family, of course, and great news for everybody. Just tell us, it wasn't football based, I understand. Sunday, you were taking a slight step out of football and working for the FIA.
Yeah, that's right. You know, I think my skill set lends myself to moving around different areas. And yeah, you know, I've been lucky enough. The luck's finally turned. With me and got offered a couple of jobs in the space of a couple of days. I was in Abu Dhabi on the weekend, working there. They brought me in again, a little short-term contract. They said, look...
just race management, was it?
It was a bit of race management, race director went in there, you know, for the... Just last game of the season, just go in there, keep them up sort of thing, you know. Go in there, do a job, and just get the race safely from start to finish, and just execute it and just help them over the line there, yeah.
And how did it go? Because I read it was an enormous disaster and one of the worst things to ever... to happen to Formula One, and probably just shut the sport down and made it entertainment instead of sport, like WWE.
I mean, look, it's very easy to say in hindsight, but I probably should have read the rules a little closer than I did before I went in there. You know, look, I'll know that for next time, and that's just the way things are in top level F1. And yeah, we got through sort of 54 laps pretty seamlessly out of 58, and we just had to see it out. We just had to see the game out, the race out. I know it was a race, not a game. I just had to see the race out. You know, we ran at it on time there, and we just got to get the car in the corner, really. You know, the game plan fell apart a bit, and
you seem to come under pressure and just immediately collapse under pressure.
Yeah, but you know, that's, you know, you expect pressure in modern day F1. Race directing, that comes with the territory. That's fine, you know. I'm used to that. I'm used to pressure.
Why did you immediately collapse?
In the heat of the moment, you know, the man in the arena and all that. I just read the rules incorrectly. Decided to wave all the cars through, and you know, the rest is history. And I completely ruined Lewis Hamilton and Mercedes' entire season. But you know, that can happen. And like I say. Sure. You know, the man in the arena, you put yourself out there, you're there to be shot at, and you know, look, we'll go again, we'll know for next time.
Sure. So you went back on Monday, another big job. It feels like quite a lot of big jobs back to back, to then suddenly be in charge of the Champions League draw after you've been in charge. But I suppose, I mean, you've already collapsed under pressure once on the Sunday, but I suppose you felt like you could handle the pressure on the Monday.
Well, you know, I think that speaks to my CV. You know, you look at everywhere I've been, I've pretty much always left them in a better place than when I went in. And, you know, if you don't count the F1, where it looks like I'll probably be up in the Court of Arbitration for Sport, probably in the new year, that's fine. You know, I'll deal with that when it comes. I left the FIA pretty quickly after that. My contract was up anyway, and I got a call from UEFA saying, look, John, we need someone to come in and just oversee the Champions League draw. Again, short-term contract, that's fine with me. You know, just come in and oversee that, get the draw done, get in, get out.
Just pulling balls out, isn't it?
Just make sure it all goes smoothly. Look, it's like you say, it's a one-match thing. Just go in there, get us over the line, and thanks very much. So yeah, you know, went in there. That's the life of a travelling manager. You know, you never know where you're going to be next. And got on the plane out there to Switzerland. Got out there with Andrea Scharwin, of course.
And you signed for Arsenal, didn't you?
Well, no, I tried to sign.
I
tried to sign him for Chesterfield. You know, when I was there. But they were too busy crowdfunding for a new set of corner flags at the time. So that took precedent.
Just to move you on. Sorry, how did the draw go?
Well, look, it's very disappointing. But, you know, for the first time in history, they had to redo the draw for a second time because of a major glitch in the software. You know, it's just unbelievable. You know, when the luck's against you, you luck's out. And, you know, It's disappointing,
happen,
but it's just basic
they,
mistakes from the you know, the UEFA, the back end team, the engineers, just basic mistakes, basic errors, and you know, we got to smooth those errors out, and it was just the equivalent of a scruffy ball into the box, and you know, no one put their foot through it and got rid of
it. Do you
think
you took on too much, John?
No, I don't think so. You know, like I say, all throughout my career, I dealt with high pressure situations. That's no problem at all. But you know, when push comes to shove, if you've got engineers, you can't draw one ball out of a bag and another ball out of another, then you know, there's only so much you can do as a manager. Yeah. Once those engineers cross the white line, it's all over to them.
Okay. Well, thanks very much, and good luck with your continuing job with Boris Johnson's PR.
The National Obsession.
You're listening to The National Obsession, and it's time for Letters from a Listener.
Let's see how this goes.
Where you go, will you send back a letter from a listener?
Could have been worse.
Any letters there, John?
Could have been a lot worse. Yeah, we got some letters.
It's been a lot worse. It's been a lot worse. Have we?
Let's begin with Chris Ballard. A new correspondent to the podcast.
Okay. Oh, on the ice, Chris.
Power Ballard. I think that would have to be his nickname.
The Ballard Centre. Used to be somewhere in Plymouth called the Ballard Centre where he used to rehearse.
Okay.
Ballards, yeah.
Well, memory's still working. Good afternoon from the USA, says Chris Ballard.
Afternoon on the afternoon. Ice, Chris.
It could be any time. This is a podcast. It could be anything.
Have a nice day.
Having only found your podcast fairly recently, I've been putting myself through an odyssey of sorts by going back to the very beginning and starting over from episode one.
Lovely. Genesis. What a lovely idea.
Whilst it was mostly in an effort to understand the origins of On the Ice and Foff, it was at least partly because I also wanted to see how you covered the relegation season from the National League to the National League South. The answer was pretty much the way I did it from over here, a resigned expression and an expectation that the club might cease to exist. It's not going so badly now, though. We've just lost against Woking in the Cup, so fortunately, that will probably be the last we see of them in the 2018-19 season. Perhaps we'll sneak into the playoffs. Well, let us know how it turns out, Chris. I want to know how that season finishes in the NLS.
I wonder. I mean, probably terribly. Imagine badly.
Somehow I now find myself at episode 51.
Well done. That's very good. A good effort. 50, nearly 51 hours of this man's life.
He said, and I've made lots of mental notes about some of the great puns that you've made. One of them about a player called something like Ethan Gums. I mean, it sounds very plausible.
I'm sure it doesn't sound like we'd do something like that, but you know, who knows.
To finish, I thought I'd do one of the things you asked for a few episodes ago, in my run at least, which is a 10-word match review. That was a long time ago. I've also recently been playing a video game where you're expected to compose haikus, so I'm hopefully going to do both here. Talkie at Weymouth, Little controls the midfield, Armstrong schools winner. That's a haiku from Chris on the ice,
that's
Chris Ballard.
Lovely, smashing stuff. Hey, Chris.
Superb.
On the ice to you. Superb.
Your first letter really containing a haiku. Well, none of the Foffs have ever managed that in three.
Half of them, when it is.
Well, there we go. Lovely really from is. Chris. Thank you, Chris. Your Foff journey begins.
Chris, fantastic. Really great letter. On the ice to you. Spread the word in America. That'd be marvellous.
Do we tell Chris, like National League football? Do we fill Chris in on what Foff means, or does he just have to find out for himself?
He has to find out, John. Yeah. He has to find out. And when he's found out, he can send us a letter.
Yeah, somewhere.
And maybe there'll be a little number for him somewhere along the line.
I thought you'd already come across it. Who knows? Episode 51. I feel like we'll be doing it longer than that. Who knows?
There we are. Okay.
Clive Hayward, one of the finalists, gets in touch. Sir Clive Hayward. Says, hello, Sean and Charlie. This might be one for Agent Devonshire to investigate. Well, I think he's got bigger things on his mind at the moment. He says, I've discovered more about Nixon and Watergate. The real scandal is that Jules Nixon never touches a drop of the hard stuff. All those cans and bottles are actually full of water. But you'll never read that in the mainstream media. On the ice, we've been taken for fools.
Yeah,
Clive.
Stop. You're absolutely right. Blowing the whole thing apart here.
It's all there.
Clive Hayward is in many ways deep throat. I've heard. I don't want to.
That's what the rumor is, anyway. Well, look, Clive. That
that's what the rumor is.
That doesn't. That's. I don't think that's Clive just trying to sway.
What a
his,
lovely idea.
It's not, he's not trying to sway the decision on the Foff of the Year, but yeah. Mervyn Benny, was he the president at one point? I think he was life president.
This is one for you, John. If only you didn't have a Christmas story to write. All the president's men with Jules Nixon on the train.
Seven days out from recording the Christmas story. I should probably start writing it, I suppose.
Start soon, John. Start soon. Because I think they normally take 7 days to read.
Let's move on.
Clive, lovely little lovely stuff. Thank you.
Speaking of Jules Nixon, the great man has been in touch.
Wow. Okay, Jules.
He says, hello and on the ice, brothers.
On the ice to you, Jules.
I'm wondering if you guys have any pre-match superstition or traditions that you have before going to a game featuring your favourite team, whoever that might be. Mine are all built around percentages and stuff. So if we win, I stick to it. For example, I have a 0% win rate when I've been sat in Bristow's bench, so cannot sit there. On the ice and good night, Jules.
Oh, gosh.
What are you?
I've seen Jules Nixon in percentages. It's normally about 6% lager, but 12.5%
G&T little pre-mixed can.
Exactly. I like I like it when Jules has those tiny little pink G&T mixers.
It's refined. That's the look I like best.
Very, very posh. percentages do go a long way into what you do, Jules.
My superstition, I generally have a cup of tea out of my Talk United mug on the morning of a game.
Do you?
I have a theory.
What would you normally lose, Jeff? What would you normally use?
Well, just I use my circulation, but I make sure to use the talking mug.
I've had them. I've had in my whole life. I've had them. I used to have a sovereign ring that I used to not a real one. It was like a fake one that I wore as a joke once to a match, and then we won, and I spent the whole season on match days wearing this sovereign ring till we lost.
Okay,
I have no idea where that is anymore. I used to not watch the actual kickoff. turn away at kickoff. And of course now my superstition is never going to a playoff final ever again in my life.
Right. Well, yes, I mean that is very fair. The harbinger of doom.
I am the reason. Jules Nixon, thank you so much for finally getting in touch. And we love your Hasbullah, and we love seeing your happy face on the trains and on the maybe two less drinks a week. I don't know, John. What do you think? We're not here to give advice out, are we?
It's Christmas. But
just make sure it's keeping you happy. That's all I would say.
It's Christmas and Jules is just going to have a couple of drinks. That's all right.
Look, it's for a nice change. Look, it'll make a nice Jules, change. Let him break out.
Treat yourself on Christmas Day. Just kick back and have a few drinks.
have a couple of cans.
And finally,
on the ice, Jules.
On the ice, Jules. Lovely stuff. Claire James gets in touch. She says, dear John and Charlie, on the subject of end-of-year reflections, I've been rueing the demise of the paper match ticket. Since 2009, I've been saving my match tickets in a ticket stub diary, which I was bought for my 13th birthday. The first ticket there is from the 17th of May 2009, which I assume must be the playoff final, conference playoff final, Wembley.
Yeah, something like that, yeah. Goodness.
It starts on a high and goes downhill from
2009,
there.
Might be Old Trafford.
No, I think it would have been the conference, the winning final and the buckle.
Okay.
She says, since that day, the typical entries have included Macclesfield v Torquay, 14th of January 2012, 1-2-1, absolutely freezing, was sick on the way home after dodgy fish and chips.
Oh, where so, from?
Well,
we need more information.
Maybe the Hat Museum in Macclesfield.
Well, Stockport Hat Museum.
Oh, Stockport, sorry. Somewhere up there, isn't it? It's all roughly the same. She says, anyway, entries have become more sporadic.
Macclesfield has that massive light shop that we liked.
Oh, that was it. Yes, I knew it was one of those. Really nice shop. Yeah. She says, the entries have become a bit more sporadic in recent years due to the rise of e-ticket.
Yeah,
so should I carry on and try and print my ticket? E-ticket, as they call them in Yorkshire.
E-ticket.
I mean, yeah, it's a shame. But I wouldn't get to it.
Yeah, print your own, but it's not the same, is it?
Can't stick a bit of A4 in there.
Maybe
rubbish.
A program will suffice. Or
even they're getting phased out, aren't they?
I know. I'll tell you what I do like is the pin, the lapel badge is always nice. A mug is always nice. Just a little bit of merch from each place, but it's expensive, isn't it?
It is.
You've already bought the ticket.
Claire, think of
it. I can't suggest.
Think of the environment, Claire. That's all I'll say.
Claire's thinking, oh, you're StubHub.
COP26. I've got a ticket collection to maintain.
Exactly. Claire, thank you for that. How many letters has Claire sent us, John?
Well, Claire is, I believe, daughter of Clive James, who is a FOF. Who's, I think, our most recent FOF. Claire James
Claire written before?
Sent in 1-2 letters. That was her second letter. So, Claire, you're in the ballpark.
Well, I'll tell you what makes up for... I'll tell you what, John, it's Christmas.
Oh.
I'll tell you what makes up for... not having a paper ticket anymore is a FOF number.
Ka-dun! Lovely. Claire.
There it is. What number is she, John?
I'm going to say 52.
I don't think it is 52.
I think it is 52. Or 50. No, 52. Look, I'm going to update the spreadsheet when I get home. My laptop. I'm getting a new laptop this evening. I'm going to update it.
All right. Wow. 52 or 53, I would say.
I think 52. But
okay. Well, we'll find
TBC,
out.
TBC, Claire. TBC.
Claire. Congratulations on your Christmas FOF number. Happy
well
Christmas.
Done. Happy Christmas. And that's the letters. Thank you ever so much.
Hey, thanks. Send us your letters. What's the email address, John?
nationalobsession@gmail.com.
It is indeed. Or you can find us on Twitter @NatObsPod. Now,
that's true.
John.
Yes.
FOF of the year.
Yeah.
FOF games, whatever you want to call it. Well, you've reached the final. And this is what we want our finalists to do. Who are Jane Kelly.
Yeah.
And Who is it? Altrincham Jean.
Come on, build up the tension. Jane Kelly.
And Clive Hayward.
Altrincham Jean. Clive. Sir Clive Hayward.
We would like you to design us a tea towel. A tea towel, which we would then, winning tea towel, we will have made and we will sell. John.
Yeah.
And that, a national obsession tea towel.
It will go into production, the winning tea towel.
To be released. The winning tea towel will go into production and we will be. So we would like you to design us a national obsession tea towel. Best one, or the one we consider to be the best one, will be made and be available to be bought.
Exactly. Couldn't put it better. So you will hear the final of the year.
I reckon we could have put that better.
It probably could have. Oh, tighten up in the edit, won't it? That'll be okay. And yeah, you will hear the results of that. We need that by, when are we saying? We've been doing Monday at 1 p.m, haven't we? So send us your design by Monday at 1 p.m. That's Monday the 20th.
Yes.
Monday the 20th at 1 p.m.
You could probably put this in an email.
Probably could have done. Send us your design by Monday the 20th at 1 p.m. And
yes,
you will hear the final and the crowning of the winner of FOF the Year on the Christmas special next week.
And it is a National Obsession podcast tea towel,
yeah,
not a Talk United tea, yeah, towel. There we are. That's what we're after.
Come
Exciting.
On. Big news.
That's
yeah,
it,
there
John.
You go. That's it.
There it is. We got through it. I didn't die during
you
the
didn't
podcast.
Die.
That would have been a sad one, wouldn't it, if I had.
Great for ratings, though, if we'd have got your,
good,
if we'd have got
it?
Your final utterances.
Imagine if my final utterance was like a pun on the name of a Dagenham and Redbridge player.
What was that story that didn't really go anywhere about the podcast?
Yeah.
That was it. And the last thing he ever said. What was Charlie? The last thing Charlie ever said was this weird story. It didn't go anywhere.
Just started telling this anecdote.
What a way to
the
go.
Other half of it.
Such a shame. His last words. Oh, what was I saying? And then he just went.
I tell you what, on the ice would be great last words. On the ice.
Well, look, fingers crossed it isn't. And you're back in here next week?
I'm not going to be buried, John. I'm going to have me ashes spread somewhere when I die.
Okay.
I'm not sure yet. But yeah. But I was going to say that would be good on a tombstone, but I'm not going to have one. So just have to remember it.
Let's hope it doesn't come to that. Go and get better.
We'll do one day, John. It's inevitable. We all die in the end.
No, yeah.
Okay, on the ice.
On the ice.
Cheerio.
The National Obsession with John Cadogan and Charlie Baker.